Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Charlie Zimmerman, in for Mike Green. The results of the 2024 election involve more than winners and losers of political ideology and party affiliation. Elections have real results that can have an adverse impact on millions of people, mostly the most vulnerable populations among us. The 2024 election results have opened the door to new political leadership, and that leadership has forecasted its intent to target the most vulnerable populations in America. Joining the exchange are the organizers of a local concert to raise funds for organizations that provide support to the most vulnerable populations in Southern Oregon. Joining me in the studio and on the phone are my three guests, Teresa Safe from the Consolidated Oregon Indivisible Network, a.k.a. COIN. Welcome, Teresa.
Hi.
And I have Kathy Cassay, a program coordinator for the Unite Center for Farmworker Advocacy. Welcome, Kathy.
Hi, welcome. Thank you.
And on the phone, I have Amy Handler, President and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Southern Oregon. Welcome, Amy.
Thanks for having us.
So, Teresa, tell me about the concert and why this event was organized.
The event was organized in unison with a National Day of Action on January 18th, along with Women's March. And our National Indivisible group has asked all of the organizations across the country to do acts of service over Martin Luther King weekend. And we decided, rather than a boots on the ground march, which ends up costing about $10,000 with insurance and all the city fees, that we would best use the money instead to donate to organizations that we know are going to be targeted if we take Trump at his word.
So we'll get to the other guests in just a moment, but Teresa, will you tell us about the other local organizations that the concert will benefit who aren't represented on this panel?
Sure. There's BASE and Pride.
All right. So Kathy, tell me about the work of UNITE.
So UNITE is started in 1996. We've been serving the Latino farm worker and immigrant community since then, almost 30 years. Next year will be 30 years. And we do a lot of, we have a lot of services that we can offer the community, including like rental assistance, emergency shelter. We're helping people in the, we're supporting workers in the illegal marijuana industry. We have a variety of other programs. We have classes, we do cultural events, and we also do educational programs around legislation and things like that that will impact the immigrant or farm worker community.
And Amy, it's no secret that Planned Parenthood's reproductive services were impacted by the overturning of Roe v. Wade, but Planned Parenthood offers a wider array of services for women and their families. Tell us about your organization here in Southern Oregon.
Sure, thanks. So we provide health care to about 30,000 folks in Southern Oregon. And I like to say we do everything from A to V, which is abortion to vasectomy, and everything in between. So that's breast and cervical cancer screening, sexually transmitted infection testing and treatment. We do annual well exams. So really all of your reproductive health care needs can be met at Planned Parenthood.
All right. And Teresa, will you tell me about COIN?
I'm on the Consolidated Oregon Indivisible Network, as well as ORD2 Indivisible, which is the local group. And Indivisible rose up after the first Trump election as a way to hold our elected officials accountable for their votes. COIN is the kind of umbrella Indivisible group that oversees or just helps the other statewide groups function.
So can you tell us a little bit about how Indivisible organizes local action?
Sure. We've got a weekly newsletter that goes out that lets people know what's going on in the district and across the country. We also have a meeting on Sunday where our local group is organizing teams so that we can be most effective as we wait for whatever is going to happen with the next administration.
All right. And Kathy, with UNITE, what are your biggest concerns about the incoming administration and the support it receives here in Southern Oregon?
Ooh, that's a long list, but we're mostly concerned about the fear. Number one, with the last Trump administration, we saw that they were locking up people in cages. They were separating families from their parents, and so the biggest fear for us, the real biggest fear for us, is that It's going to push people even further into the shadows. It's going to make them more vulnerable, much more vulnerable in terms of employment. And we're already seeing that. We're already seeing cases of how people are already being told that they're going to lose hours, or if they complain that they're going to call immigration or things like that. So that's really our biggest concern right now, is pushing people further back into the shadows. And right now, with the mechanization of agriculture, there's very limited jobs in agriculture. Usually the packing houses that close, the packing houses that normally close like in February, are already closed. They closed about 6 weeks ago. And so all those women and men are out of work. In the grape harvest, when they're moving in machines this year to pick to harvest the grapes. And also now they're also been told that they're going to move the machines in also to prune the plants. And so there's really, right now, there's really no work in agriculture other than in pruning the pear trees. And so we're very fearful that we're going to see a lot of increased need for housing, rental assistance, for food insecurity. There's just right now, because it's so up in the air and we really don't know, you know, what's going to be happening with Trump, our biggest fear is that there's going to be like mass deportations and people are just going to be ripped out of their homes. And yeah, so we're very concerned about that.
And our previous segment was about human trafficking. Is that something your organization deals with?
Oh, yes. We see that all the time in the illegal marijuana industry, not just the illegal marijuana industry, in the legal marijuana industry as well. There's a lot of abuse in the illegal marijuana grows. There are different types of even sexual abuse. They're not allowed to leave the premises where they're working. They're way out in the middle of nowhere, and so there's no cell service. And so we've actually had people that have run through the woods for like 2 days to try and get away from the illegal marijuana grows. And so that's another area that that's very concerning for us, human trafficking, labor trafficking.
You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Charlie Zimmerman. My guests in the studio are Teresa Safe from the Consolidated Oregon Indivisible Network, Kathy Cassie, a program coordinator for the UNITE Center for Farmworker Advocacy, and Amy Handler, president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Southern Oregon. We're talking about an upcoming People's March benefit concert in Ashland to raise funds to support the work of organizations empowering vulnerable populations in Southern Oregon. So, Amy, what policies do you believe threaten or could potentially threaten the work of Planned Parenthood of Southern Oregon?
I would actually echo a lot of the things that Kathy said. Some of the things we've been thinking about and talking about are that some of the most vulnerable folks, especially folks, you know, with unknown immigration status, will be fearful to access healthcare. We feel fearful to access any system. And we know, you know, everyone needs healthcare. Everyone needs access to healthcare. So I would definitely echo a lot of what Kathy said. And then locally, and then on a national level, we're really tracking a couple of things. You know, we think that Trump will probably put into place both the domestic gag rule and the global gag rule. Both, you know, the global gag rule prohibits any funding from any federal funding from supporting abortion access or care, and then the domestic gag rule actually prohibits any Title X provider from saying the word abortion to their patients. So making abortion referrals essentially becomes illegal. And we had that in the first Trump administration. We're also tracking the Comstock Act, which has really never been put into place, and that would ban anything being used for an abortion from crossing state lines. So that's pretty, would be pretty, you know, monumental on access to care. And then a national abortion ban. You know, these would override a lot of the state protections that we've put into place. And so we're tracking and we're going to fight really hard to make sure that none of them come to fruition.
So if you do lose federal support for Planned Parenthood, is there alternate sources of funding, even if not to provide abortions, but to provide other services?
So our patient population is about 70% funded through Medicaid. That is a federal program, and about 11% of our patients are uninsured, and then the other 20% are private insurance. And so we're examining all options to figure out how we would make sure that the folks on Medicaid wouldn't lose access to care if the federal government tried to fully defund Planned Parenthood.
And so this concert, hopefully, is there an idea of how much each organization might receive?
That's going to depend on the generosity of the people who show up. We're not charging an entry fee. We're hoping that people use all of their resources to give to the various organizations that we're helping.
So how will people be able to do that?
We will have a QR code up all around the event, and each group will have a table. So there's an opportunity to learn, volunteer, to step up, to help, and to donate.
And will these donations go into a pool, or can people donate to specific organizations?
We are encouraging, in fact, the QR code that we have set up is one QR code that will lead you to a page that has all four of the organizations on it, so that you can tap on each one of them and donate directly. Any money that is left over from our fundraising efforts to launch the event will be donated just equally between the four organizations.
And I don't think we've actually mentioned yet any details about where is this concert, when, and you already mentioned it was free to get in, but there will be options to donate. But where can you learn more?
You can go to Women's March Southern Oregon, their Facebook page, as well as ORD2 Indivisible's Facebook page. We've been sharing it all over the place. There's flyers all over town, and the event is from 12 to 2 at Oak Knoll Golf Course, and actually it's from 11 to 2. We've got the brash band that will be welcoming people. The actual event will start right at noon.
So is that the only band that's performing, the brash band?
No, we've got Alice DiMaselli and Brett Levick, Bill Scholar and the brash band, Blue Lightning, the Holy Misfits, and Tommy Lechtworth of Smiley T and the Tall Trees.
Oh, that's a pretty good lineup.
Yeah.
And can we learn a little bit more about the other two organizations that are participating? So there's BASE and PRIDE. Can you tell me a little bit about those two?
Well, I can't speak in detail for either of them, but BASE works with the Black population in the Valley to help create equity and fairness. I know they do a lot of work with Black youth and community and help things be smoother. And PRIDE is, they do their big parade every October, and they've been around for a while, but we really are concerned about our LGBTQ community, especially being targeted.
All right, and so why don't we go around? We have about 2 minutes left, so if each of our three guests, I'm interested to know what people who are listening can do to support your organization other than come to the concert and donate money. So, Teresa, you want to start? How can people support your organization other than coming to the concert?
We are going to have an organizational meeting the following day at 2 o'clock at the Bellevue Grange, where we're setting up various teams. So this is for ORD2 Indivisible. And what our intention is to have boots on the ground ready to react as things happen. And our goal is to be doing a lot more outreach with these organizations so that they know we have their back and we can get our members out to help support when needed.
All right. What about you, Kathy?
We have a lot of volunteer opportunities. We need English teachers. We need people to teach our citizenship classes, basic computer skills. We also we're going to be forming rapid response teams in response to ICE interactions with the Latino community or the immigrant community. And so there'll be opportunities there to sign up as well for to be part of those rapid response teams. We also have a program called Sanctuary Neighbors, where you get to know your next door neighbor if you feel that they have without legal status here in the United States, so that you can act as a support person in case any type of interaction happens with ICE.
All right. And Amy, how can people support Planned Parenthood of Southern Oregon?
Well, definitely donating is huge for us, just to ensure our doors stay open. We're deeply, deeply grateful to Teresa and Oregon Indivisible for organizing the concert this weekend to benefit all four organizations. And then we have opportunities for volunteering as well. You can go to our website, PlannedParenthoodSouthwesternOregon.org, and find out more ways to get involved there.
All right. Well, we'll have all these links on our website, ijpr.org. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this segment. Thank you to all my guests today.